Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I Don't Get It podcast. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the I Don't Get It podcast. This is Naz. I'm in LA.
Hey, I'm Ashley. I'm in LA, but we're not in the same room together because Naz is so busy, so she can have time to go drive over to me.
Oh, I like that voice.
Hi, I'm Lauren, and I'm boring, and I'm from Virginia.
You're not boring. That's like, you know when you do icebreakers at camp, and it's like, say your name, where you're from, and one interesting fact about you. You're like, I'm boring, and I live in Virginia.
No, I would be like, I've been to 312 concerts.
Yeah, exactly. I've been in the same hotel room as the Jonas Brothers.
What?
We lost count of our concert. I know. But
oh,
it's probably 300. All right, Jared's home, of course, now as we resume our speaking. Anyway,
what's our podcast about today, Ash?
Okay, so we have a girl named Mick on. You guys may follow her on Instagram. She is pretty much like kind of Christina was when we did that podcast. How long ago was that? A while ago. Christina is a plus size model, Lauren and my friend, and today Mick is going, she I think is a plus size model as well, and she does body positivity on Instagram. So today we want to concentrate on filters on Instagram, Photoshop, and all the things that we normally wouldn't show on Instagram, and why it's important to show them. Basically, it's just like one of those things that's like embrace yourself for who you are kinds of podcasts.
I love it. Speaking of embracing yourself before, or what was I thinking about embracing who you are? Sorry, I was reading something and trying to say something that's very difficult for me. I just wanted to share something random with our listeners because I feel like I remember sharing this story a while back. Okay, so remember Hannah Berner when she was on our podcast?
Yeah.
From
She's
Summer
like
House.
Blown up on an IG.
Hannah
on
is
Twitter.
The absolute shit. Yeah. I'm obsessed with her. So Hannah had me on her podcast and we talked a lot about like dating, flirting, being confident, you know, Heartbroken Anonymous, all the things. And she said that Derek Paith, when she met him, I'm going to like paraphrase this. I don't know exactly what was said. You guys can go listen to the episode.
What about Derek Paith? Did she date him or something?
No. So her and I are talking and she's like, I remember talking to Derek Paith and I told him about you. I think it was after she came on our podcast. I can't remember. And she said that he just like went on and on about like how amazing you are and how like cool and like pretty you are. And I was like listening to her and I was like, what? Like I was never Derek's like producer, like never knew that he like thought all this nice stuff about me. And I was just kind of like, I was like, oh wow. Like I never knew that. And he's like, yeah, they would all talk about like how great you are and blah, blah,
That's
blah.
Because you're like the hot producer. Of course they talk.
I don't know. So basically I've been getting so many messages on Instagram from random people saying like literally so many, Hannah must get so many downloads. So many people that are like, oh my God, Naz, like that part, like when Hannah talked to you about Derek, like it's so cool to hear. I feel like most, you know, people in life, and especially women, I think, go about either thinking low of themselves or don't have self-confidence. And yet we don't realize that there are people out there that actually think we're like really great, you know?
Well, so Jared thought you were like the cool girl. He thought you were
Jared,
like way
I just
too
never
cool
believe
for school.
I'm so anyways, do you guys remember I shared about this on the podcast? I saw this guy at an airport at LAX and then I asked him out. Do you guys remember this guy?
I remember.
And then he came over. We had like a fun date and I wore like the wrong shoe. I wore like two bad shoes that didn't match or something that like looked similar.
Yeah.
And then remember he came over, he like drove me home and then he left so abruptly.
You cut out, Ashley.
Yeah, you cut out.
I thought that you guys cut out during the climax of the story.
I was like, what the hell? Okay.
So what was that?
Do you guys remember he came over?
Yeah.
And did I share this on the podcast? He literally didn't kiss me and left right away. And it was so abrupt that I felt so rejected. Did I share this on the podcast, Lauren?
I think maybe. But well, I know I've heard the story. I
don't remember it vividly, so I don't think our listeners would. So go ahead.
All right. Well, I just said the story. So basically that's what happened. And I never heard from this guy again. And I was like, he never asked me back out. And I was just so confused. I was like, wow, he was just like, I got to go. And walked out and shut the door. So anyways, I don't know what compelled me, but I've been getting all these messages about people listening to me on Hannah's podcast, and this guy happens to watch all my stories, and what do I give a fuck now? You know, it's been so long. I don't care. So I literally messaged him last night and I go, hey, just curious why you watch all my stories, but we never went out again. I was like, I don't care at all. I'm just genuinely curious. LOL. And I'm sharing this because I know a lot of our listeners are always wondering why the guy's still watching the story.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He never even asked me back out. He goes, I think you have a great Instagram and enjoy your content. I'd go out with you again, no longer in LA though. Sad face. And I go, where are you? And I go, haha, how come you never asked me back out?
Yeah.
He goes, I was traveling for work a bunch in and out of LA and just didn't ask you back out. I had a great time and enjoyed our time out. I would definitely go back out with you. And then he says, I'm in blank and tells me the city that he lives in now. And I go, okay, so timing. I go, that's so funny. I literally thought you weren't into me at all because we didn't kiss and you left my place so abruptly.
Yes. And he goes, he had to shit his pants.
Yeah. Remember, that's what you said, Lauren. You're maybe he had a poop. You do remember now.
I think he had to poop.
No, he goes, you stand by that? He goes, it was late. I had to be up early, but you're right. I should have made a move. And it was one of my first dates since my breakup. So I was very reserved.
Okay. Continue.
I go, this is so eye-opening. I literally thought you were repulsed. I was like, because I never heard from you again. He's like, no, haha. I'm sorry. I made you feel that way. I'm so sorry. I literally had no idea. I came off like that wasn't my intention. Dating hasn't been great. And I was like, cool. I was like, I guess this is teaching me not to take it personally. He goes, definitely not. So I just thought that was a funny thing to share.
That is good. Cause I remember that story vividly. But also, the guy wasn't ready to date is the moral of the story. He was thinking about his ex when he was with you, probably. He didn't need to be
I had to get up early. And it's just the meaning
just
of
say
that
the ex.
Was he wasn't ready, you know?
Right. He was very reserved. Exactly. So timing, which is exactly what I said. But I just want to share that because I think just in the same vein of Derek saying all these nice things about me to some random person I don't know.
I think the worst usually.
I just think a lot of people, especially in dating's so hard. It's you're so vulnerable and so many of us get shot every day. It's literally warfare. You put your heart out there, you open up and then it doesn't work out. And I think a lot of people take things personally. I know I used to always think that it was me, what's wrong with me? And I think it's important to remember to not take it personally, especially in 2020. But I just thought that was a funny thing I wanted to share with everyone because it was nice that he was honest about it. Yeah.
I love it.
That is quite interesting.
It's cute. That's very sweet of him.
Sunbasket! I freaking love Sunbasket. You guys, you could skip the grocery store and have delicious meals full of organic, fresh produce delivered straight to your door. They have fresh, healthy, delicious meals, and they have all different types of dietary preferences. They have paleo, gluten-free, they have Mediterranean, vegetarian. It's easy, it's convenient, it's pre-portioned, it's ready to prep and cook, and don't tell anyone. But I'm going to tell you guys, we've done meal prep things. Okay. Right. But the reason I like this one is because it is actually the very fastest. And some of these meals you don't do anything to, you sprinkle a little cheese on top and you just stick it in the oven. And it's even in an oven safe container. And your husband or your boyfriend or your best friend, whoever you're cooking for, is going to be like, oh, wow, this is really talented of you. I'm like,
And at the end of the day, all you're doing is assembling. The reason why I like it is because, I'm not even going to try and sugarcoat this. The grocery store is low-key kind of scary these days. So the fact that you can get clean ingredients, organic, fresh produce delivered to your puerta, that is door in Spanish, is just so unreal. And I'm just going to go ahead and admit this. I'm not the greatest at picking out produce. I literally am so lazy. I just pick like the first one I see. I don't know how to feel up an avocado.
Oh, yeah.
Like I don't know how to know which one's good. I don't like, I don't know. I just take like the first one there. I'll try and take the one behind the first one, you know, because I'm like, maybe no one's touched this. But like, I always go home with subpar produce, and Sunbasket has very clean ingredients and organic fresh produce.
For instance, you could get a hoisin steak strip lettuce cups with pickled daikon and carrots.
Yum.
You could also...
The way you read that.
I don't know what daikon is, but I'm sure it's delicious. You can also get the roasted salmon with miso glazed eggplant, black bean tostadas Diablo with cabbage slaw and guacamole. And you can order from any of these meals across their menu and skip a week whenever you need to, if you're going away, if you want to double it up. It's very simple and easy to, with no gotchas.
So right now, Sunbasket is offering $35 off your order when you go right now to sunbasket.com/get it and enter the promo code get it at checkout. That is sunbasket.com/get it. And enter promo code GET IT at checkout for $35 off your order. Sunbasket.com/get it. Enter promo code GET IT. And guys, your life, your foodie life, is going to be changed.
Okay, guys, we got Mick on the line now. And she's going, well, Mick, you tell us what you're going to talk about. because you stand for so many things on your Instagram page. And I feel like you get, how many followers are you gaining a week? First, how many followers are you gaining a week?
I really don't pay attention too much. I swear it's more for my mental health than anything, because if I paid attention that closely, I think I would be like closeted in my room somewhere.
Okay. Well, then I'll say it like this. I have so many friends that I follow that also like your pictures. So like I was going through your Instagram earlier and it was like, I had a handful of friends that also follow you, but we've never talked about you before. So I just think that it's probably, you're probably, you know, getting up there with the followers.
Blowing up would be the term.
She's blowing up. Yeah, she's getting up there. Sorry, I just got a phone call
you
come
blowing
through.
Blowing up, girl?
And I was distracted for a second. All right, so what do you stand for on your Instagram that people are resonating with so much?
Oh, man. There's, like, a handful of things. I stand for so much that, you know, I go through, and that everybody goes through. It's more about just normalizing all the struggles that we deal with in everyday life, whether it be razor burn and razor bumps, acne.
Yes, yes,
you
yes.
know, back knee. That's not something talked about a lot, especially for adults. Domestic violence, body positivity, eating disorder awareness. Just a lot of things that aren't talked about and people have so much shame over, you know?
Right. What is your Instagram handle, just so people can sort of maybe scroll through as we're listening?
Yes.
Along.
It's Mick Zazon, MikZazon. I almost forgot how to spell my name there for a second.
Honestly, that's happened to me so many times. I'm like,
I'm so glad.
What is it?
It happens to me too.
No worries. So Mick, where did, you know, what were you inspired by and what led you to start an account that focused on a lot of things that people are ashamed
for?
Well,
I started sadly. An account based on weight loss. So I was sharing my weight loss transformation photos. I was, you know, a weight loss coach. And I was a closeted girl in an eating disorder. And that was dealing with undiagnosed PTSD from a abusive relationship. And it was only a matter of time that I hit rock bottom and everything was just going to blow up in my face and I had to do something. And that's kind of what happened. I hit my rock bottom and I had around like 80,000 followers at that time. You know, they were following me for, you know, fitness motivation, weight loss motivation, tracking macros, tracking calories and progress photos and all of those things. And then I just couldn't do it anymore. I could not lie to myself anymore, and I couldn't lie to anybody else anymore.
And so what do you feel like you were lying about?
A lot of things. Number one, a transformation photo isn't real life. To think that a transformation photo is someone's life purpose is really like just not the point. It's not even worth it. In some cases, like it's like peeling back an onion. I could say that, and so many people can be defensive, right? And say like, transformation photos, they inspire me, which is true. And it's multifaceted and it is peeling back an onion. But a lot of fitness accounts do share, primarily transformation photos to sell weight loss programs. And that's what I was doing. And that's why it just didn't make sense to me anymore to bring people down the same path that I was on, that I was so sad on, and I was struggling so hard.
The before and after or the transformation photos, would you Photoshop your afters?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Or have you never Photoshopped?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Is that the norm, Mick? Do you feel like most transformation photos, weight loss transformation photos that people see, do you think when we see them from like a big influencer account, like, there's a big chance that it's Photoshopped?
I can't say for sure, but I do, from Photoshopping myself, I can spot it very easily. And I know those who have used things like Facetune and, all of the, there's so many editing apps out there. It's very disheartening. But it's definitely prevalent. But even if they're not Photoshopping, it's still unrealistic to sell a weight loss program based off of one transformation photo, because, the people buying into it are thinking that they're going to get that body type. And when in reality, a lot of these fitness influencers, like they are the 5%, statistically, like they are the 5% that have that body type.
And they have a personal trainer every day, and that's the supplement isn't the only thing making them look that way.
So 5% of people are like able to comfortably attain the results that they have, you're saying?
No. So 5% of the population, the world's population, has the body type that is shown in mainstream media. Got so it. Whether like Victoria's Secret model.
Okay. So like Emily Ratajkowski or whatever. Everyone's like, give us your workout. Yes. Like, what do you do? It's like, you're not just exactly not gonna look like it if you do exactly what she does. Yeah.
So are you saying that those are, that for most people that body type isn't attainable, or it just wouldn't, or just doesn't reflect them?
I don't think attainable is the right word. 'Cause I attained that body type, but that body type was not for me. It backfired very quickly. I was losing hair. I was losing my fingernails and toenails. My skin was so brittle.
But Mick, was that because of the way you were losing weight, or do you think just the actual weight loss affected your body, lose it?
Yes, definitely. It was how I was losing the weight, but also the extremes that I was going through in order to try to get to my dream body.
What were some of those extremes?
I dealt with orthorexia, bulimia, and binge eating disorder throughout 6 years.
Can you tell everyone what orthorexia is?
I thought it was very interesting. I saw it on your gram.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I've never heard of this. What is that?
It's like extreme OCD with food. That's the easiest way that I can explain it. It's eating as clean as possible, almost having like a God complex with food, trying to find the perfect diet and, things like going to restaurants, I personally would package my own food instead of like buy restaurant food because I didn't know how the cooks were cooking it. But it's definitely like a hidden eating disorder that a lot of people don't know about, but it is, I would say, one of the most prevalent eating disorders of them all.
This is so interesting because as someone that deals with perfectionism disease, it sounds like it's like a perfectionism when it comes to like weight loss and attaining a certain body yes. type.
Yeah.
Wow. I never knew that that was
yeah,
a thing.
I think, you know, with any eating disorder, it's not the food. That's the problem. It's an inner demon that you're trying to battle, and you are trying to take control over it by the one thing that is in our faces every single day, our body, food, and exercise.
Mm-hmm. Right. Wow. That's incredible. You've overcome all this.
Thank you. Yeah, it was definitely a long road.
So this website that I discovered during quarantine has been a lifesaver. It's called Rory, and during, you know, quarantine, you couldn't go see a doctor. You didn't go there and get a prescription or anything like that for skincare.
There was a lot of digital stuff, like dermatologists were meeting with people online.
Yes, so then
and having consultations.
Exactly. So I ran out of my Latisse. I know it's a vapid thing, but I need my eyebrows to be dark and full, okay? So I was realizing that they were falling out, and then I discovered this website, Rory, where you talk to a doctor, a U.S. licensed healthcare professional within 24 hours, and then they will write you a script. They'll consult with you. They'll see what you need, and then they will give you the treatment.
It's the sister brand of Roman. So Roman has made it simple to connect with a healthcare professional online. I think we've talked about Roman when it comes to like gynecological needs. And then they give you a personalized prescription skincare treatment that is right for you. So this is basically the dermatological version of Roman. This is Rory.
But what's dope about Rory, R-O-R-Y, by the way, is that not only can you get access to this stuff from the comfort of your own home, I think what makes them just top winning is that they have free unlimited follow-ups. So not only can you start like a skincare routine by ordering something on their site and you have to answer a bunch of questions, they have a survey, it's sort of like an online consultation. After you answer all those questions and you get your thing, you have unlimited free access to a healthcare professional with a proactive follow-up. I cannot stress how important that is, because when you're dealing with stuff with your skin and something's popping up or it's irritated or you don't know if it's working, to have access, unlimited free access to someone that you can ask and that can help you and guide you through it is just, to me, revolutionary. So
yeah, and not have to pay like a fee every time you go and be like, should I up my dose or whatever? Just simply go on there, go on Rory. And also, you don't have to go to the pharmacy. It's delivered to your door free with 2-day shipping.
Exactly. And with Rory, there are no commitments. You can cancel anytime. So guys, go to hellorory.com/get it to try out Nightly Defense for just $5. That's the one I'm currently using. It's free to chat with the doctor and your first order is just $5. That's hellorory.com/get it. Eligibility requirements and additional terms apply.
So there's bulimia and anorexia, which is talked about all the time. And then there's, how do you say it again?
Orthorexia.
Orthorexia.
Orthorexia. And then there's also one where people just are addicted to working out. Did you have that?
I forget what that's called. But I was working out for like 4+ hours a day.
Wow.
Yeah. Whoa. That's totally why your hair is falling out.
Well, the hair was falling out because I was malnourished. I mean, you think about like eating less and then exercising more than you were eating. It was just it's a recipe for disaster.
Wow. And what's interesting is you shared with us earlier that you also felt like it was, you know, it's never just one thing, right? You were also feeling, correct me if I'm wrong, like PTSD from an abusive relationship. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. So you've been through a lot, Megan. And to hear all of this and like look at your Instagram, I think you're incredible. So how did you go from there to now?
A lot of therapy.
Yeah. I love therapy.
Therapy is my lifesaver. I So I was living in Arizona at the time and I was away from my family. I'm originally from Ohio. I live in Ohio now. But I was going to college in Arizona and that's where I hit rock bottom. And I called my sister and I said, something needs to happen. I was sitting on my bed, in my apartment and I hadn't left my apartment for a month straight. I kid you not. I ordered groceries in. I had piles of Postmates around me. This is when I was dealing with binge eating disorder. I couldn't do it anymore. So my family flew out to Arizona and we kind of all made the collective decision that it was time for me to get some help. And so I moved back home and I did outpatient eating disorder recovery. And I started going to therapy for PTSD. And so it was all just like an accumulative effort of my doctors, my family just being my rock through that time. And me finally getting to a point where I was like, this is the only way. I can't go any further down or else I will end up in a hospital or who knows what could have happened.
What do you think it is about abuse? Can I call it an abusive relationship or just like a tumultuous relationship? Okay. That sends so many women into binge eating or just eating problems because not to compare at all, but just as something that like I've firsthand witnessed on my 600 pound life, almost all these women have a past of being raped.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? What's the tie between eating and weight gain or weight control?
It's what I said before, trauma needs to be felt one way or another. Mm-hmm. Your feelings need to be felt one way or another. And when we ignore those feelings, it just demands to be felt. And in the day and age that we're in, we're constantly on social media. We're filled, like we're brainwashed by social media, whether we think so or not.
Right. 100%.
And we see these images online or we're seeing workout videos online and it's just so much pressure and the closest thing to us that we can control is our bodies, what we eat and exercise. So it goes hand in hand and it's with any kind of trauma. It could be childhood trauma. It could be relationship trauma. It could be assault. It could be anything.
That's why, even I just feel like heartbreak, because I have Heartbroken Anonymous is the core of it's like when you look at addiction, eating disorders, any type of thing, you're absolutely right. I feel like trauma sort of manifests itself and people sort of go to these different vices to try and like heal or numb what they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And everyone has access to food because you need it to live. So that's the only thing you can actually control in your entire life.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That, I don't know if it was on the podcast or it was just in life, that I had a discovery that it's almost easier to be like an alcoholic or a drug addict because you can live without those things in your life. When you have a problem with food, you need food to live. You can never not have food in your life.
Right. It's easier at all.
That's what a lot of people with food issues will say, because they can't rid themselves of it.
So my dad was an alcoholic. He's recovered now. And growing up with him, he's the most loving father, and growing up, watching his actions, it is very similar. However, you know, it's, addiction isn't a choice. It is a mental illness, just like with eating disorders. They're just very different. But it is crazy, because I reflect a lot on, you know, his actions versus my actions, and they are very similar. Mm-hmm. We just chose different things to utilize, right, if that makes sense.
That's why I was saying I don't think it's easier, because it is a mental illness, addiction. I think it's something, you know, in your head. It's not like you want to do it.
Yeah.
No, I don't think Asher was making it seem like a choice. Like, this, you should choose this one because it's easier, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's,
as far as like assimilating yourself, like past that rehab stage, you know what I mean?
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it is. It's 100%. I personally, like, there is a big difference, because when you can become completely recovered from drug addiction, you know, you'll always live with the after effects, but you always have to have food, mm-hmm, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that's where you were coming from.
Yeah, sure. I get what you're saying. Like, you have to sit in front of it like 3 times a day or however many.
Yes.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. Three times a day.
I'm saying like in
snacks all around.
Well,
me.
I eat 6 times a day, but I just meant in the sense of breakfast, lunch, dinner, etc.
Yes, classic way.
So going with your Instagram currently, you're very open with like literally every inch of your body. If you ever got work done, would you tell your followers that you got work done? Like, if you got injections of any kind, would you be like, I just got injections, or do you want to be like all natural? Or would you tell them?
Oh, I have lip injections and I have Botox, and I've made posts about it. And I think it's really important for women to know that they have autonomy and that they can feel liberated in however, in whatever way that looks for them. Mm-hmm. For me, it was one way that I love having lip fillers, and I love having Botox.
Your lips look so good.
I was looking at them.
That's, I was like, I wonder if they've been injected or not.
Thank you to my dad. He has like very big lips. So I was already like, my brother has the biggest lips in our family, and it looks like he has lip injections, and he's 17.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you have, when you talk on your stories, you oftentimes have a filter on, but you always have, you know, it says filter at the top.
Yes.
How do you feel? Would you ever filter yourself without that notification that you have a filter on because of your Instagram's theme?
Can you say that again? So like, post without a filter?
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm curious now why use filters on stories, you know, if your account's like all like non-filter.
So yes, 100%. I think it's, again, it's all about how you feel liberated, and it's really fun like, I love editing photos. I don't know about you guys. Mm-hmm. I sell presets.
Yeah, so everyone's kind of all, I feel like Picasso. I'm like, oh, it's time for me to sit down and make this picture go from hideous to a masterpiece.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's one thing to change colors and maybe have like a little smoother on your face. I think it, like, if that's what makes you feel more presentable and able to talk in front of a camera, you know, that's what works for me. And also I every single day I show an unfiltered video of myself, and I, whether or not it's me saying, hey, just letting you know that this isn't really what I look like, or this isn't really what my life looks like reality check here or not. I make it a definite point to, tell my audience that there's always something that is unseen on their end.
Mm-hmm. It's nice to know, like, those lips, like, I guess God could give you those lips, but these lips were not given by God, you know? Yeah. Like, you could also purchase these if you would like.
Yeah.
Yes, if you would like.
Rothy's. Okay, guys, I know so many of you ran to Starbucks to get that pumpkin spice latte on September 1st. Well, guess what? Your next step on getting ready for the fall season is to step into fall with comfortable, washable, sustainable products from Rothy's. Have you guys heard of this company?
And bags.
Thank you, Lauren, because I forgot. Now. And did we mention that they are sustainable? So not only are you walking around fashionable, but you are also helping the environment. Go you. They're carefully crafted with eco-friendly materials like repurposed plastic water bottles and marine plastic. And they are so, so comfy. Ashley literally does not take them off.
Vogue calls them a personal obsession, and Health Magazine says they're the most comfortable shoes on earth. So, you know, you got to at least get one pair to try those babies out.
Well, the reason for that is because they don't cut up the back of your ankle like every other, you know, flat out there. What's great about Rothy's is they come in a huge array of colors, prints, and patterns, and they have a new sneaker. So try those out as well, because I know you keep going back to Rothy's because they keep telling us we should do their ads. So I know you guys are listening to me, and then you're like, oh, wow, Ashley was right. I got to go buy some more now because they're so great. Like, I get it. Like, this is something I get.
So if you already bought the shoes or you want to try the shoes, you should go and try the bags as well. So check out the amazing shoes and bags available right now at rothys.com/get it. That's Rothys, rothys.com/get it. Style and sustainability meet to create your new favorites. Head to rothys.com/get it today.
So where do you like draw the line? Like, if you...
No, I think that...
You know what I mean? Do you get my question? Yeah, yeah. Like,
yes,
where do you draw the line? Because you do get some stuff, and I'm totally asking as like in a subjective way, because I obviously get Botox and filler, and I love all this stuff, and I don't care if people get it or not. I'm just curious from your perspective, like, where do you draw the line?
So here is, it is difficult, and it's individual. I think that's the most important part. For me, in therapy, I was just talking about, you know, how, like, I was walking through this decision process. I'm like, I think it'd be kind of fun to have lip fillers. And I think, you know, I would love to not have wrinkles on my forehead or not have creases on my forehead. And I remember looking at my therapist and I was like, is this okay? And she was like, well, what do you think? And like, what is your decision process? And I said out loud, I was like, well, I feel like I know I love myself, whether I have forehead creases or smaller lips. I know that regardless of anything, my appearance doesn't mean a damn thing. It's, you know, the inner part that matters. And so I ask myself, is it out of love or is it out of hate? Mm-hmm. Am I getting these things to fix something? Because ultimately it's not going to fix something. It's not going to fix me being not happy. Right. It's just like this impulse. It's like the, I don't know if your phone vibrates when you like purchase something or like when you like click.
Yeah. Or when you get a match on a dating app, it's like,
is this my husband?
Yes.
It's like, it's like that instant gratification. And then you're like, wait, why did I feel so good when I just bought that? Like, what is that?
It's that like hit of dopamine, you know?
Yes.
When you get like a like or something on a photo, like all that, all social media is like all built around like hits of dopamine, I feel like.
But I have to say, I do love myself more with Botox.
You laugh.
Yeah. I do too.
100%.
I love it.
None of our foreheads are moving.
None of them. I know. It's so hard when I'm on camera too and I have to be like excited about something and my eyes get so big and people are like, what's wrong? Someone literally commented, what's wrong with this girl's eyes? And I'm like, oh no, I'm trying to emote too much.
Because
my forehead doesn't move.
I think the lines in the forehead are more distracting than a girl's eyes bulging. Anyway. I do. Girls who have like, okay, like let's be real. Sorry, this is like the antithesis of what we're talking about, but what's it? Khaleesi from Game of Thrones. I can't watch her
because her wrinkles are too distracting.
Whenever she expresses, her accordion forehead is way more distracting than what she's saying.
I understand what you're saying. Now, I have a question.
I know, I'm sorry, but I'm just saying.
Mick, you talked about razor burn.
No sense. We're literally doing a podcast on body
positive. I'm sorry.
Okay. So I think, but hang on a second. This is good because it's so like in all like bigger picture. Why does that bother you? Is it because you don't want to see it in yourself? Or is it because,
ma'am, you are smart. That's a great question.
Yeah. Why does it bother you, Ash?
I think I truly can say it's a distraction to me. Naz, go and watch her Christmas movie from last year and tell me it doesn't distract you.
Oh, her Christmas movie.
You know what's interesting about this is that if you live in LA, and I know most people listening don't, but often for some reason when you meet strangers, for example, I got my car washed yesterday, you know, and I just chatted it up with the guy. We were waiting for our cars and he's like, oh, are you an actress? Like for some reason, that's always a question if you're like a girl in LA, I feel like. And I literally always think to myself, like, no, I can never be like, I must have Botox on my forehead. Like, you can't, you know, you have to show emotion. It doesn't distract me.
Nicole Kidman says no thanks to that rule.
I know. But she like, I feel like when you watch people on shows and TVs, and I mean, even hosts included, you do want to see their face move and you want to feel what they're feeling, you know?
This is my analysis of why it bothers Ashley so much. It also bothers me too, but it's also...
Thank you, Lauren.
You can... You just know that she could look better, you know? So it's bothering you because you know it could be better, you know?
I don't know. I find myself not listening to her words as much as I am looking at her forehead.
Honestly,
Mick, are you disgusted by this?
I'm not.
No, Mick, I'm not. I'm actually not because it's like, it's what everybody thinks. And it's like, what do we see on mainstream media? We see Botox faces all the time.
Right.
We see, our first thought is never our own. Even back when, like, literally our first thought, baby, right? Mm-hmm. We learn from other people. What we see is what we know. So when we see something that isn't familiar to us or see something that is kind of like out of the norm, it feels uncomfortable. So it's not something to be ashamed of to think that way at all. I had to go through that as well. And I go through my own personal biases all the time. It's mm-hmm. it's about confronting those and asking yourself why.
Hmm. Yeah, that's very interesting. That's I can't wait to make my kid be like unfazed and super creative and have like zero outside influences. I just want my kid to be like that, like from birth, not have the outside influences, but I mean obviously it's going to, but like I just wish my kid will be more creative and less judgmental than I am.
I bet you if you raised a child today and never had them download Instagram and they didn't know what Instagram was, it actually would not be that hard. Because
it would be like a Martian to all their friends, but probably the smartest kid in the room.
It would be how we were growing up. We had magazines and like some cable shows, you know, and like network shows. But mainly it was like magazines, I feel like. Yeah, and like Victoria's Secret catalogs.
Yeah. Remember when that was like the thing that we looked to as like the ultimate beauty ideal?
That's what I'm saying. And that's why imagine how different all of us would be if when we were in the 2000s, opened up a Victoria's Secret model catalog and there was like a plus size in there and people with like cellulite and just like, will you just imagine the effect that would have had on so many? Like so that would have affected me in so many ways. I already know. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
But not even that.
Oh yeah.
We would get the Victoria's Secret. We would get the Victoria's Secret like once a month and like, but now they have Instagram all day long.
Right.
Oh, 100%.
Constantly.
I just, that Victoria's Secret magazine ruined me as a child.
Yeah. No, it did.
It really did.
And that was photoshopped, but like not to a crazy extent. Let's move over to social media now that like people are now photoshopping themselves. Yeah. So Mick, can you sort of talk about your thoughts on filters and Photoshop in general? Because I'm actually shocked we haven't like all talked about filters and Photoshop.
I think so. There filters and Photoshop. There's a difference between, you know, editing out, let's say a plug on the wall to make the photo look clean. There's a difference between, you know, making the overall photo brighter and the colors more vibrant, and all that is, to me, that is okay. What makes it not okay, and coming from a personal experience, what I find not okay, I'm not speaking for everybody. What I find not okay is when I edit my body to either look like someone else or look like something that I am not because of outside pressures, because of whatever I'm seeing in Instagram these days, you know, like I don't want to see my future children go through the same thought processes that I had to go through looking through Instagram, looking through magazines and thinking, well, why do they have porcelain skin? They have zero pores. Like, what is happening? I look at my face and it's like pore central. Like, what is happening here? Are these people like made from diamonds? Like, I don't get it. Right. Like, I thought that I was so wrong. I literally thought my very being was wrong.
Right.
And I don't want to have my future children go through that. So I think that's like one thing that I think about, you know, from an editing standpoint, like what would I want my future child to see? You know, what do I want the future generation to be? Because it's not about, it's the same instant gratification that you're talking about earlier. Like, what is that going to do for your future? What is that going to do for your in-person, relationships? And how is that going to make you a better person by editing your body something that it's not? Because in reality, like you are beautiful, and it makes no sense for someone to edit their body when it's just like, it's this mind game that we're all in, you know?
100%. So for everyone listening right now, obviously the podcast that you're listening to right now, we are discussing topics such as eating disorders, depression, addictions. If you find that you are feeling any of these things, or just anxiety, relationship issues, sleeping, trauma, anger, maybe you have family conflicts, grief, or just self-esteem issues in general, we are really excited and stoked to tell you about one of our favorite sponsors, which is BetterHelp. So BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. They make it really easy and free to change a counselor if you need. And it's basically a super convenient way to get matched with a licensed therapist worldwide. So if you're listening to this across the globe, you can use BetterHelp. And it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling. And financial aid is available, which is why I just love this company so much.
I actually have been seeing a therapist, but it literally got way too expensive, like every week, way too expensive. So I have moved over to BetterHelp, going to give this a shot from now on.
Yeah. And I also love the fact that they can start, you can start communicating with the therapist in under 24 hours. And that's really good for people who are really feeling like at rock bottom at this very moment. And they don't want to like wait, call up a therapist and wait to see when their next appointment availability is.
Yeah. And it's also, I mean, you know, we're in a pandemic. It's awkward sitting in the waiting room. Sometimes it's really, I know that therapy can be really intimidating, mm-hmm. but I also know that I was saved like through my breakup, through so many moments of anxiety, through my perfectionism, through therapy. So if you've never tried it and you're feeling down, I know a lot of people are this year, we highly recommend it. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're actually recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. That's so really please, cool. Friends, we want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/get it. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/get it.
I feel like I came to your profile. I was directed to it when I was talking about my hormonal based acne. And I love the way that you show off your acne. And I think that in magazines, it was mostly like that poreless look on makeup ads that I was like, oh my, like, how do I achieve this? And this was like even before filters were like so much of a thing. And you'd hear about Photoshop, but like you didn't, I didn't know that Photoshop would make this skin look like. It made you think that foundation was supposed to make your skin look
right,
like that.
Right, that's it. Right? That's it. Yep. Yeah.
Like, and I was like, foundation does not make my skin look like this. If anything, it sometimes brings out certain like flaws even more. You know, sometimes it'll bring out creases and pores. So I guess like skin realness is something that we've gotten really far away from on Instagram.
Yeah, I think it needs to be bit more, but I do enjoy that I'm seeing it.
And now looking at just like going through all your photos now, Mick, like it really is, it's so incredible how
you still look so pretty and beautiful.
But you are, and it's like everybody is so stunning. And you even brought up acne, which I think, I agree. I feel like it's something people don't talk about mm-hmm. enough or show mm-hmm. or we never see and people are so ashamed of it. And it's
can
like,
you tell us about your razor burn? Because like that's my number.
Yeah.
That like I will not wear a bikini. Like I'll sit and like just hide everything. And like I can't like run and play on the beach because I'm like so self-conscious of razor burn. And I'm like, I want it to go away, but also I guess normalize it at the same time.
So sexy.
Yeah.
I'm just
you
like
know,
looking at all your pictures.
I still struggle with it. Like genuinely. I struggle with it every single day. You know, I'm wearing spandex shorts right now. Mm-hmm. And earlier I saw a razor bump and I moved my spandex shorts down so that it would cover it. Like, it's not something that it just goes away when you've like reached a certain point. It's like this constant battle. Like, why do I feel the need to cover this bump? Like, yeah. Is it for other people's comfortability? Because right. like, I don't want to live for other people's comfortability. This is my body. And I like shaving my bikini line, and right now I'm on Accutane, so I can't do laser hair removal, and that's like what I plan to do, mainly because like my razor bumps are very painful. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm just living it day by day and saying like I have this, and I'm choosing not to hide it because there's no way that no one else is not dealing with it. Right. You know what I mean? Like yeah. Everybody who shaves their freaking bikini line is going to have razor burn or razor bumps one day, yeah. one way or another.
I'm sorry. I just can't even count the times I've gone on and looked at porn stars' guide to shaving your bikini, strippers' mm-hmm. guide to shaving your bikini. None of it works.
Wow.
No. And you know what? That brings up a fantastic point. I prefer to shave or have like, I like things clean. Mm-hmm. However, it wasn't until the porn industry came into place where it was mansplained, like all of it was geared for men. And really, it's really creepy that
yeah, they like
the
it
porn
bald.
Star, you know, like thing is to have everything clean and to even get things surgically, you know, like perfected to make them look younger. And that is gross to me because hair and all of these things that we're talking about is a sign of adulthood.
Yeah.
You know, right. Like it's so crazy how deep rooted these issues are. Like it genuinely is. And it's very scary think that like women are just geared to please men. And now we're getting to a place where we're fighting back on that.
I know. Yes. I love it. Are you on Accutane to get rid of your acne?
Yes.
Okay. I actually really appreciate the complexity and of how real you are. Cause I think most people would be like, well, you're this person on Instagram that projects that it's okay to have acne. But it is also, I think it's important for people listening to know, it's also okay for that person to want to get rid of it. Right. So let's talk about this gray area, because I think most people are way more complex than they project that. I mean, I think Instagram in its very nature is very one dimensional. So people look at a page and they're like, this is the body positivity girl. This is the girl that doesn't care about showing her acne. And we forget that person is like a human and maybe they don't like that stuff. So I just would love for you to talk about how it's okay for you to also take Accutane and want to get rid of it.
Yeah. So I've dealt with acne since I was in fifth or sixth grade. I hit puberty pretty early. And I got called pizza face when I was growing up. I had my friends ask what is on my back, shoulders, and face. And it was always this thing that was in the way of me just living in the moment. And I, like, going into adulthood, I, you know, used to wear short sleeve shirts or long sleeves because I was terrified that if I was put in a position where I was wearing, you know, a strapless shirt or a spaghetti strap tank top, that I was, if I were in line somewhere, someone would be up close and personal with something that the majority of the world thinks is gross. You know, and on top of that, like I used to have to ice my face five times a day because my acne was so painful. And a lot of that came from hormonal issues, dealing with my eating disorders and not having a period for a while. But it was seriously getting in the way of my life. And no one has to apologize for wanting to eliminate something that is getting in the way of their every single day life. And being their best self. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, like you want to feel confident in your skin. It doesn't matter if it's for anyone else, but it's for you. And yes, got it.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
What was the so-called you feel a flaw about yourself that was the most difficult to talk about publicly?
Razor burn.
Really? So funny, but I get it.
Yeah.
Wow.
When I posted my first razor, I still remember it to this day. I was sitting next to my best friend, Gabby, and I was like in tears. I was shaking. Aww. I was so scared. But my best friend Gabby looked at me and she was like, Mick, every single time you go through something pivotal in life, you get this way, but it's because it's good, not because you know it's bad. It's because this needs to happen in order for you to get over this hump and for you know, other people to feel less alone. So mm-hmm. it was definitely scary, and it's, again, still something I deal with every day, but it feels less scary and less alone now that I know other people go through it as well.
I have two questions. What I'd love for us to identify, like, the fear. Like, if all of us, if I uploaded a picture on Instagram with no makeup on, or like you, if you posted your razor burn,
Naz
Lauren,
is the kind of girl that makes me feel bad about my skin.
I meant, like, you know, if I just post, you know what I'm saying? If we all posted,
Naz was like, no makeup, I'd be like, fuck my life.
No, it makes me sad. I hate that everyone has that. I have insecurities too. What are we scared of? Are we scared that a guy is not going to like us? Are we scared that people are going to be mean? Like, what is the actual, what do you, I want to, like, go around in a
circle. Why is beauty so important to us?
Like, what are we actually scared of? Why do we use filters? Like, why? Are
Brené
we even
Brown.
Scared? Or are we just trying to be, are you, I love
that's
Brené Brown.
Her, that's a yeah. great, great compliment for her.
So
I fucking Brené love
Brené
Brown.
Brown says, shame hides in secrecy. And like, if we really think about it, like, we've just been in this world where things aren't talked about. So obviously if things are out of the norm, like, at least I'm worried that my appearance is going to, you know, make someone else uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah. So, but what my second question was, what is the response that you got when you finally pushed through and posted that photo of razor burn that you were hesitant to?
Oh, so I was flooded with positivity. Yeah. It was the most, it was the most beautiful thing ever, because, like, still when I post about it, people are like, oh my gosh, these are my legs. And mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, they're mine too. Like, this is, like, it's so crazy, and it brings tears in my eyes that for the majority of our lives, like, we're truly taught that our bodies are something to be controlled and not something to own ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about Naz's question now, and I'm like, well, we do, you know, we do these things, we hide these things because we want to be perceived as super beautiful. And then I'm thinking,
why does it matter to be super beautiful?
Kind of, like,
because everyone
I'm actually,
that's idolized is super beautiful, right? So is it just wanting?
Maybe
you just want attention and want to be. Is it just an inherent need
an
for all of us want to be loved?
Maybe it's an attention thing. I'm actually pretty good with embracing my flaws and putting them out there, but overall, like, I'll be like, here's a gross picture of me, and, like, I'm fine putting that out there, right? But at the same time, I'm not going to do the majority of the time, I want people to look at that picture, and I want people to be like, oh my God, it's so pretty, so pretty.
So how amazing would it be if you just said, here's a pretty picture of me?
Oh,
like, what would the effect then be in your comments, in your life, for your confidence? I say this too to say it to myself. You know, I'm not guilty of this. Obviously, you know, I wear makeup in a lot of my Instagram stuff. I filter stuff. I don't really Photoshop, but I do filter.
I don't know. I think people even do say, like, when I post a very flawed picture where it's very obvious, like the one that I found Mick through when I posted that big cystic zit on my chin. But people still say, like, you're so beautiful, you're so pretty.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. I know that.
So just change the narrative. Change the narrative. You should be like, this is me. Not this is a gross picture of me. Not this is a flaw. This is just Ashley.
Yeah, but I'm not even talking about, like, that, like, this right now. I'm thinking about, like, why do the four of us want to be so pretty? Like, why do we think every day, like, I want to do this to myself, I want to do this to myself?
Because of,
like,
the Victoria's Secret catalog we saw growing up. We covered that really 20 minutes ago.
It literally goes back to just, like, the popular girls in school were the pretty cute ones that the boys liked. So we wanted to be them, or, you know.
Every girl in a movie that's loved, every girl in a rom-com that's liked is a pretty, nine times out of 10, like, white skinny girl.
Yep.
You know, that's what we grew up watching.
And the people who aren't that are the funny, weird ones in the movies. So it drives me insane.
Yeah, it's wild. It's also just like racism. I think beauty standards are very systemic. It's like built in so deep. Yeah. And I think it's really refreshing that we're seeing, you know, companies try and change now, finally, especially like fashion labels.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
But Mick, do you feel like your body currently right now, the state is like the state that your body naturally wants to be at? Because I feel like everyone has like that kind of range that like your body wants to be at.
Yes. Yes, it's called natural set point.
There we go. Yeah, I knew it had a word.
Really? A natural set point? That's okay. So cool. Funny.
What does that talk about it first?
It means that whatever body you are in, you are living happily. You're moving your body and you're balancing your life and coping healthily. And that's just how your body shows up in the world. That's what I posted about today. Someone said, you know, she's just pressed because she doesn't have 6-pack abs. And I was like, hold up a second.
Yeah, that's not it.
You're like, that's not my goal. Thank you.
I don't think that's it. That's reaching. it doesn't matter what my body looks like. What I want is to be able to run with my future kids. I want to be able to live my best self. And if that means having a 6-pack, that's fine. If that means existing in a larger body than I'm in right now, that's fine.
Right.
The point is that I'm living healthily and happy.
Right. So Mick, when I was in March of this year, like my heart literally was beating too fast. Like every time I did something, okay, like I would go to the fridge and like my heart would be too fast. Like I knew that like I was unhealthy, right? And I started to work out, and I felt pretty healthy within like 3 weeks. Like, you know, I started like feeling not winded, just feeling better, but also eating whatever I continued to eat, right? So then I went on this anti-acne diet, which I was supposed to eliminate gluten, dairy, and sugar on. And for like the new naturopathic doctor was like, just cut it cold turkey pretty much at a certain point. And 3 days into cutting cold turkey, I was like, oh, heck no, I can't do this, right? And I'm sorry to all our listeners who have heard this a couple times by now. But I'm leading to a certain place with that natural set weight, you said?
Natural set point.
Natural set point. So while I was working out, when I started working out, I lost 2 pounds. You know, it was no big deal. It was just getting, like, healthy. And I would never overeat, but I would never overeat. I'd never eat these massive portions. It was all like pretty portion controlled, but like I didn't lose any weight. Right. And then when I did what she told me and I started cutting down on the gluten, the sugar and the dairy, I lost 7 pounds in 2 weeks. I was obsessed with how I looked, but also afraid to be social. Like I just like couldn't go out to dinner because that would just, or I couldn't have a drink by the pool because that was going to like set me back and like make me feel so guilty. And then we went to Rhode Island for a month after I had lost the 7 pounds. And I joked while on the trip that I was going to come back and be my original weight, that I was going to gain the 7 pounds back because I was just living life. I was still working out, but I was just, you know, eating the way I would have beforehand. And I got on the scale yesterday, and I'm back to the normal Ashley set weight. It was kind of funny.
You're back at your set point because that's what your body wants to be.
But this is what I find funny.
Wait, your set point before you lost 7?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So I'm back to my original weight.
But you feel better in your heart because you're still working out.
Well, sure, because I'm working out. Yeah, like I'm not like at all feeling my heart race. But I think what's really usually for most people, it's that 5 pounds, right? It's the 5 pounds but that are between happiness and between looking what you feel is like your best. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's more than 5 pounds. It depends. You have a number, right? Between your happiness and when you look what you think you should look like, ideally. Mm-hmm. Your ideal weight and your comfy weight are pounds apart.
For sure.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah. Sorry. That
why?
Was a babble.
Why? No. I loved it. Why is weight a part of this? You know what I mean?
It's not. No, it's not. That's why it was super interesting.
Got it.
It was supposed to be me eliminating products that were possibly going to make me break out once I went off birth control. And as a result of it, I ended up losing 7 pounds. So I was very clear that when I lost that very quickly, it had nothing to do with the desire to lose the weight.
I love that.
Yeah.
Good. Congratulations, Ashley. I love a good set point.
Seriously.
I love that.
But it's just like,
that was a big
maybe
realization.
We should just stop being so, we should just be comfy at our happy weight. We really can't, like, it's a, life is not as good when you say, I can't have the cheese. It's just not.
Yeah,
it really I agree.
And, like, even, like, in summer, like, with drinking, it's like, I wasn't supposed to have any sugary tropical drinks, but it's like, this is part of, like, this is part of living my best life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it depends if you don't have a million stomach sensitivities like I do, in which case the cheese will fuck up
allergies
your entire vacation. But it leads me to like my story that I wanted to share with Mick as well. So what's interesting is that I finally had time to like lose weight this year, and I turned 30 this year. So I decided to get a nutritionist and a trainer and like really get in shape. And I'm feeling very... and it's all for me. Like, I loved myself before. Like, I loved who I was before. Like, of course, I always wanted to, I've always wanted to, like, it's even more of, like, a mental challenge. Like, I always just wanted to see if I could do it, you know, and, like, get a six-pack. And, like, if I had the time like I do now, I always would have been done this. But now I struggle with, like, it's so funny. I haven't posted about it or really talked about it because I don't want to promote... I feel like people would take it. People would be like,
in a good way.
Yeah. Like, well, if I like posted about it, I feel like people would be like, you were beautiful the way you were. Or it would either be one or two things. It would be like, you look incredible or whatever, but you looked great before, yada, yada.
We have friends that have reached out and been like, did Naz lose a lot of weight? She looks like insane.
Yeah. I mean, and I have tough skin. Like, I don't care. I mean, I actually
insanely good.
I don't care what people think, but. It's just kind of, it's just an interesting place to live now, Mick, because I'm like, do I share this? Is that then promoting that you need to lose weight to feel good? But I do feel good, and I am happy, and I'm really proud of myself because I worked really hard and I did it the healthy way, you know, like I didn't cheat. I like drank a shit ton of water. I worked out. I played tennis. I ate really clean. I still had my cheat meals. Like, I still have fun. So it's kind of like, it's just interesting that we're talking about this because it's like an interesting place to live now where I'm like trying to be very conscious of what I put out there, you know?
Can you not show it off? Is it snotty to show off? Is it promoting something bad if you're showing it off? Or are you just saying like, I'm proud of my accomplishments? There's so much gray area.
There is a lot of gray area. I think, you know, I work with a lot of therapists and dietitians, and I'm very blessed to do so because it's opened up a lot of thoughts on my own. And I said in the beginning of the podcast, like, I did share my transformation photos, and I think what my reflection is on me doing that is me reaffirming that my body is the only thing to notice about me. Mm-hmm. When we post these things, and I like that was, that's for me. That's what, why I posted the things that I did, because I wanted people to look at my body and say like, yes, she's healthy. Yes. Like I want to be healthy, and I want to like look like her, and I want to be, blah, blah, blah. I think it's changing the narrative of saying like, yeah, I am doing these things. But personally, like I've lost weight too. I've lost a lot of weight actually. I struggle with it because I like with body dysmorphia and stuff. I went from an extra large, almost XXL, to a small medium within a year. And on my self-love journey, like I realized it was my set point weight. But I chose not to do those before and afters because I didn't want people to look at me for just my body, right. You know? Like right. I wanted people to look at me for my strength and my like my ability to... go through a lot and still be standing on my feet. However, It is individual, you know, like it's very individual. So if that makes you feel happy and that's what makes you feel like it, if that genuinely brings you happiness, then there's nothing wrong with that, you know?
I also, Naz, if you do post anything about it, my concern immediately is like, what if you do, like, is that going to pressure you? Like, what if you do just feel naturally gain a couple more pounds? Are you going to worry about everyone noticing that?
I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm in such a good place. I also, I also didn't share this. I would never post a transformation.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? It would be like, it would be more like, you know, I've worked for a year with this nutritionist and this trainer and I got in shape, but also it's like, what message is that sending, you know, or am I allowed to be proud of myself? It's a weird, complicated feeling. It's a weird, complicated feeling. You know, I want to be really conscious of what I'm putting out there.
I guess this is also a good time to bring up, how do I word this?
I'm going to do it. Do you remember how, what's her name? Who's the trainer on Biggest Loser?
I know who you're talking about.
I know who you're talking about too.
Michelle.
Something. Yeah, Michelle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the trainer on The Biggest Loser came out and she was talking about, oh man, I'm so old. What is the, what's the rapper, the female rapper's name?
Which one?
Oh no.
We're gonna get in trouble. Oh, you're talking about Lizzo.
Lizzo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so she came out and she talked about Lizzo's weight and they were it was
Jillian Michaels?
Yes. Jillian Michaels.
Yes. Jillian, yes. Not Michelle.
Yes. Okay. Michelle, we both thought Michaels. I think it was I'm seeing the M in my head.
I'm so confused.
Okay. Yeah. So Jillian Michaels came out a couple of months ago and she was asked like about her, I think she was asked about like celebrating a body shape on a news program. And they're like, isn't it great that people are celebrating Lizzo's body shape? And she said, well, I don't know if it's something to be celebrated considering she's obviously not healthy and I don't want her like dying of a heart attack. And like, I don't want to promote and celebrate this if it means that this person's not healthy. So where do you find the balance between like being healthy, but also not
loving your body for where it
is, healthy, but like also like you can't promote certain shapes being healthy. Like you have to, it's the importance of moving and the importance of exercising. And there is an importance to eating well. And we don't want to lose that in this celebration of body shape. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I think what's really important is that if you do go on plus size fitness accounts or body positive accounts who are in larger bodies or fat positive accounts, they are very open in the fact that, you know, they are celebrating their body. They may not be their healthiest self, and that's what they're working on. I think they are so transparent with that because they live in a fat body, you know, like they can't, like they live in a fat body and they literally get discriminated just by walking out in public. And, you know, they are allowed to celebrate their body and they're very transparent with, you know, like blood pressure and all of that. And I think that's something to be known because with Jillian Michaels, she was also talking about, what was she talking about? It was intuitive eating. And she was literally making fun of intuitive eating. And I about punched my computer screen.
What is intuitive eating? I actually wanted to address intuitive eating during this podcast. I'm glad it came up. Go ahead. I want to know your thoughts on
what
it.
What is it?
Yeah. So there's intuitive eating is living your life and listening to your body and asking your body, like, what do I want right now? And also knowing that emotional eating is okay. That's a part of life and it can be a coping mechanism, but it can't be your only coping mechanism. And it's just knowing your body and what it needs and that it will tell you, if that makes sense. And she was just going through all of these things. And she was like, smirking underneath her breath and saying, you know, like a certain weight isn't healthy. And I just lost my shit. I couldn't take it. I did TikToks on it.
Okay. I didn't know that the conversation branched anything outside of that point that made. Okay. Interesting. So my friend who has struggled with her weight for a long time, she was talking about how she's been learning about intuitive eating. And at first I was like, I don't understand. She's like, you make the kale good and then you make the donut bad. And it has to do with what your body's telling you that you want. And I was like, well, I'm very confused because I just always am going to want the donut. Like my head or my taste buds are always like, I want the donut. But then after going and eating way more poorly over the past couple of weeks, I know that my body was telling me you want the kale. Like you actually want the kale.
Mm-hmm. So it's just sugar is like addictive. Yeah.
It's like your body gets to a point where it's like, no, thank you. That looks great, but I would prefer this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's all like, if you think about it, it's how a baby eats or how a toddler eats. Like they're going to tell you what they want and what they don't want. And when we grow up, we're taught that certain foods are bad and certain foods are good and better than others and all of that. And it all gets mixed up in our heads and we're taught to control things that aren't meant to be controlled. Instead, like our natural state is to just listen to our bodies and know that what it needs is good.
Yeah. Well, Mick, this was so great. I'm so happy that Ashley introduced me to your Instagram account and we can't wait to follow you more. Mm-hmm. I think not to get all metaphysical, but I just think ever since we did a podcast with a medium and I spoke to my cousin who's passed through her, and like, it's so silly how our bodies just, they don't matter. Like they're just a vessel.
That's so
like
it's true.
Really, it's really just about your fucking soul.
That's
like,
so
I actually don't care if someone's big or small or scrawny or like, you know, it's like, if I love your soul and I want to be around you, like that's all that matters. So it's kind of silly how much time we waste.
That is so true.
Fixating on our bodies because it has nothing to do with who we actually are.
Yeah. Think about how much brain power, not to like keep going because I know we have to wrap, but think about how much brain power that we, especially as, you know, 20 and something year old girls, give to what we eat each day. We think and we crave and we look forward to certain meals, but then like we almost never eat anything without qualifying how good it is for us, the calorie content, and
how,
like, how it's going to determine what we're going to eat for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, coming from a Dominican family, that's a very American thing. It's like not a thing in other cultures. Like you just eat.
You eat when you're hungry, you eat whatever's there.
And eating's like a part of life and celebrated and like fun, you know? Mm-hmm. Here it's like, oh my God.
But you're right. I mean,
let me do 10 steps. I just had a carrot with peanut butter on it. Like it's ridiculous.
Absolutely. No, but I also think that's the way the food is there and just how it's prepared, because like we all know, Ashley's going to bring up Italy again. If you eat like that freshly, if you eat like that, those high quality foods, your body can just, it loves you. It loves you for that. Yeah. So anyway,
thank you so much, Mick. I'm going to go enjoy my Chipotle that I ordered. Yes. So excited.
Mick, you're the best.
Guys. Let everyone know where they can find you. I know you shared your Instagram, but if you have anything else you want to plug.
Yeah. And tell us about other accounts that we can follow for the same kind of benefits.
Honestly, just go through who I'm following on Instagram. You will find accounts like me. I don't follow anybody that isn't promoting something positive. So that's what I always recommend. And again, Instagram, Mick Zazon. TikTok is MikkZazon because someone stole my username. Ew.
Bitch.
and then like YouTube, Twitter is the same.
Awesome. I love a good TikTok account. Thank you so much.
All right, love you so much. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you for having me. Bye.
I don't get it. Podcast.